Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really plunging into a single incredibly powerful idea, this assurance that a higher power actually hears us. Our mission really is to unpack what that actually means.
Yeah.
Three, right where you are.
Yeah, and our source material for this deep dive is the Faith Beans GP podcast. We're looking at excerpts from part four of their special five-part global series. It's called The Healing Journey, Understanding 2 Chronicles 7.14.
Yeah.
But just so you know, GP is Global Perspectives.
Which is really key here, that global aspect.
Definitely. Now, if you've been following that series, they've already laid some serious groundwork. Part one was identity. If my people who are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
Part two got into surrender, humble yourself and pray.
Right.
And part three explored realignment, seek my face and turn.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a journey already. So today we land squarely in part four and the focus, God's response. So we'll hear from heaven, God's response to our cry.
Mm-hmm.
And they really stress this point, and it's for everyone listening. It doesn't matter if you're in Brazil, Argentina, Nigeria, Canada, India, the U.S., wherever. It truly is a profound promise, isn't it? And I think as we dive in, the big question we need to wrestle with is, what does it genuinely signify when a divine being says, I will hear from heaven? What does that actually mean for, you know, our lives day to day?
Yeah, because it's so easy to feel, well, unheard, right? In this noisy world, our problems can seem too small, maybe,
yeah.
Or just too big. So the source jumps right in saying, I will hear from heaven isn't, you know, just poetic language. It calls it a divine assurance.
Mm-hmm.
What does that really challenge, that feeling we sometimes have of being, well, alone or insignificant?
Well, that's a really crucial distinction they make. The source argues this assurance fundamentally changes how we see that connection. It's not just a nice idea. It means quite literally, according to the source, I'm listening, I'm aware, I'm paying attention, and maybe most importantly, I'm not distant.
Mm.
So it directly pushes back against any feeling of isolation. The idea is God's throne isn't shut. God's ears are open.
Okay.
It shifts things, doesn't it? From just pleading into the void to, well, a relationship where there's response.
And this isn't presented as some new concept either. It's woven deep into scripture, isn't it? The source brings up verses like Psalm 34.17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles.
No.
And then 1 John 5.14, which offers this incredible confidence. This is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's like a constant thread.
Exactly. And that thread raises another question. Who exactly gets heard?
Mm.
Is it selective? The source makes it beautifully clear that no, it isn't. It paints this picture of just incredible breadth. It talks about all sorts of cries reaching heaven, the single mother praying for strength,
yeah.
The pastor praying for revival, the teenager praying for identity, even the elderly grandmother praying for her grandchildren. The core message they distill is he hears from heaven every cry. It's this all-encompassing attention.
Every cry. That's
right.
A lot to take in. It makes you pause.
Huh.
Actually, the original source material even included like a 5-minute pause for quiet reflection there. We won't do 5 minutes now, but it shows how important they felt it was to let that sink in.
It really is a profound thought that your specific cry, your situation is included in that.
Right. Okay, so to make this less abstract and more, well, real, the source shares some really compelling stories, these powerful testimonies from South America. And they're not just random anecdotes. They're framed as, like, case studies showing a global truth in action.
Absolutely. These stories really put flesh on the bones of the concept. Let's take Lucia from Argentina. She prayed for her alcoholic father for over 20 years. 20 years. And she admitted having moments of real doubt, wondering if anyone was listening.
I can only imagine. 20 years is a long time.
It really is. But then, one morning, her father wakes up, visibly shaken. He tells her about this incredibly vivid dream he had where he felt God calling him to change his life.
Bob.
And the result,
mm-hmm.
He stopped drinking, completely sober, started going to church with Lucia. And now, believe it or not, he leads a men's Bible study group.
After 20 years of prayer, that's just incredible. It speaks volumes about persistence, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Then there's Daniel from Brazil. His struggle was different. Intense anxiety and depression got so bad that one night, feeling completely overwhelmed in a park in São Paulo, he just cried out, looked up and said something like, God, if you're real, hear me.
That moment of desperation.
Exactly. And the source says he didn't hear, you know, an audible voice or anything dramatic like that. But he described this profound sense of peace just settling over him. And that was his turning point. It led him to find a church, get counseling. And now he leads prayer sessions specifically for young adults struggling with mental health.
So a quieter response, but just as life-changing.
Absolutely. And then there's Maria from Colombia.
Yeah.
Her prayer was for his son, who had walked away from his faith. She prayed for him for a decade. And the source highlights how she specifically held on to this verse, 2 Chronicles 7.1 morning, every single morning.
Well, clinging to that promise.
Day after day. And then one Sunday, her son just shows up at her door in tears, saying he wanted to come back to God.
Oh, imagine that moment for her.
An incredibly emotional breakthrough born from that steadfast prayer.
And one more, Roberto from Chile. His story is about something many people face, economic hardship. He lost his business during a downturn, facing immense pressure. He and his wife prayed every night, but he admitted sometimes it felt, and these are his words, pointless.
That feeling of pointlessness? Uh-huh. That's so real, so relatable when things look bleak.
Definitely. But they kept praying. And just a month later, a friend randomly reached out, connected him to a new job opportunity, and their finances were completely restored.
So even when it felt pointless, the prayer was still heard.
Yeah. What does that tell us about how this hearing works?
I think it tells us that the divine response isn't dependent on our feelings, our perfect faith, or even our sense of hope at that moment. These stories, yeah, they're from South America, but they powerfully underline that universal truth. God hears from heaven when his people cry out. And the crucial takeaway for you listening is that assurance. He hears you too, even when you feel like Roberto, like it's pointless.
That consistency is really striking. And it's not just, you know, a modern thing either. The source encourages looking back historically, scripturally. Where else do we see this idea explicitly well proved?
Oh, absolutely. The Bible is, I mean, it's full of these moments. Think about Exodus 3.7. God himself says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. That's God hearing a whole nation's cry.
Right, the collective cry of oppression.
Exactly. Then fast forward to King Solomon, his huge prayer dedicating the temple in 1 Kings 8. He specifically pleads, verses 28-30, hear the cry and the prayer. May your eyes be open toward this temple. Hear from heaven your dwelling place. It's this big public appeal for God's attention to be fixed there.
A very different context, but the same theme.
Completely different. And then you have Jonah. Talk about a desperate situation from the belly of the fish.
Can't get much more desperate than that.
Right. And in Jonah 2.2, he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. God heard him even there.
From the depths. Amazing.
One more from the New Testament this time. Cornelius the centurion. In Acts 10.31, the angel told them, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor.
So it's not just cries of distress, but also like acts of devotion.
Exactly. It shows God's hearing is attuned to more than just pleas for help. It notices piety, generosity. It broadens the scope of what constitutes a cry that reaches heaven.
Okay, so if you pull all these together, Egypt, Solomon's temple, a fish's belly, Cornelius's house.
What you see, as the source points out, is that over and over and over, the Bible shows God hears from heaven and responds. It doesn't matter if you're royalty in a palace or a prophet in a fish or someone in a village in South America.
Or just sitting quietly in your room right now.
Precisely. Or sitting quietly in your room. The message is consistent. Heaven is listening. Mm. And the source really encourages just letting that truth settle in deeply.
It's a powerful anchor point. Okay, so as we start to wrap up this deep dive, let's just reconnect it to the bigger picture. This all comes from that Faith Beams GP podcast series, The Healing Journey, Understanding 2 Chronicles 7.13. We've walked through their exploration of identity, then humility and prayer, then seeking God's face and turning, and today really focusing on this incredible promise, God will hear us from heaven.
It's been quite a progression through that verse.
It really has. And the journey isn't quite finished in their series. They point towards the final part, episode 5. That one's titled, I Will Forgive Their Sin and Heal Their Land Walking in God's Promise of Restoration. So there's still that culmination of forgiveness and healing to come.
Which flows directly from being heard, doesn't it? The hearing leads to the potential for forgiveness and healing.
Yeah.
And maybe just a final thought to leave you with, drawing from the source's conclusion. If heaven is listening, truly listening right now, what might that mean for you, for that situation you're facing, that hope you have, your healing, your breakthrough? Maybe, just maybe, it could be one prayer away. That's a compelling idea to reflect on, isn't it? The possibility hinged on that listening ear.